Hey everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Indie Film Cafe. Is this our first episode of the year?
Not the first.
Alright, well, it is season 5, and welcome. This is your old pal, the Moo Cow, a.k.a. Paul A. Presenza, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Jonathan Moody.
How's it going?
Going good, how are you?
Alright, and we have a special, an extra special guest. Those of you who remember her from way back in season 2, we have Miss Lenore Miller joining us. Yay!
Hi. Wait, you can't see me waving.
Oh. It's okay. It's okay.
Welcome back, Lenore.
Hi.
You managed to survive after the stinkers we showed you way back in season 2.
Yep. I'm not dead, I promise. I went back to school.
She started in season 2, but she was in season 3 for like half the season.
Right,
so
right, right.
There you go.
And
you
know. Forgotten Horror Classics. Yeah.
And Quick Review. Oh, not Quick Review. She did What the Fuck Fridays with us and a few other ones. Film Freaks. Stuff like that. So we really, really, really appreciate you coming back.
Her stinky movie career went off to a roaring start.
Exactly.
Now she's kind of sidetracked by graduate school and getting her PhD. But we know her real love is terrible, stinky movies.
I do like bad movies.
Yay!
And
did you like bad movies before Paul introduced you to some?
No, not really.
So,
well, okay, a little.
A little?
Like, one family friend had B-rate sci-fi movies, like the black and white ones.
Nice.
Like, It Came from Mars or something to that effect. I remember liking those a lot.
Those are fun.
Those are fun. And
well, we don't quite have one of those films for you. However, we do have a Star Wars ripoff movie called Turkish Star Wars.
The film is actually called Turkish Star Wars?
It's called Turkish Star Wars. They have very different copyright laws in Turkey, as in they don't have any. So it's pretty much a mishmash of different stuff thrown in together and called Star Wars.
So the actual title is Turkish Star Wars, not Star Wars in Turkish.
Nope. So Turkish Star Wars sounds fantastic.
As bad as this movie is, there's the worst one called Brazilian Star Wars, but I don't know if you guys could sit through that one.
Ooh, that sounds rough too. So I'm not.
There's a lot of bad sci-fi Star Wars movie ripoffs, and this is one of the fun ones because it's just bizarre. So,
sounds fantastic.
We will come back and talk about this weird movie after some mood music. And we are back.
Why'd you squeak the monkey?
Because it's just a frame of reference so that we can understand reality again after watching this movie.
I thought it was because the whole fucking movie was a continuity error.
Mum squatch!
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. So, was this the first time you guys have seen Turkish Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yes.
We've heard of it. Like, I think even Lenore, you said you'd heard of this movie from Paul, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I threatened to show this many, many times to many, many people. This is kind of a chore to sit through, so I don't watch it too often because it's just an incoherent mess that just constantly barrages you with imagery and ridiculousness.
It's just gobbledygook.
Pretty much. It's somebody took a bunch of different movies and threw them in a blender and pressed puree, and then you're just watching it being dissolved in acid.
Right.
Pretty much. It's ridiculous.
So anybody want to take a stab at the...
Oh, please, Lenore.
Well, normally she can. I don't know. Let's find out.
This is the challenge. This is the graduate level kind of movie.
Okay. Let me think.
Welcome back, Lenore.
Okay, so there was some narration in the beginning about how Earth was destroyed by a nuclear war.
I guess.
Which was confusing because later they talk about Earth like it's an actual still existing place.
Confusing? You think this movie had some confusing moments?
It was like a fever dream.
Yeah, they said that the Earth had been destroyed, and then later they're talking about destroying the Earth.
Yeah.
What?
Again.
Again. Like, wait, does Earth just exist again? Like, did it just, like, grow?
Spray and keep coming back.
they land, they're fighting the Death Star, which they never explain.
No, they don't explain anything.
Nope.
And then they land on in Turkey, except it's not, because it's not Earth.
And they're covered by rocks.
And then we get covered by rocks. And I honestly, for the life of me, I thought that was from a nature documentary and it was going to be like turtle hatchlings, and it wasn't.
Well, they ripped off so many movies, it wouldn't have surprised me that they might have ripped off a nature documentary, too.
No, in the space fights, every now and then I'd blink and it was footage of a duck trying to launch from a lake. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, the editing made some interesting choices.
Worst editing I've ever seen of anything.
But yeah, there was a lot of recycled shots, a lot of recycled locations.
Recycled music.
Oh yeah, Indiana Jones.
Constantly. Well, every time that guy appeared and was like hopping around, it was Indiana Jones.
Oh, so much hopping. Hopping and jumping.
There was the pointy face guy with the brain. Mm-hmm. Not like he had a brain. He had a separate brain.
It looked like a chicken breast or something.
Yeah, and he was holding it.
He didn't have a brain, that's for sure.
Nobody in this movie
had a brain.
And then there was just a lot of fights, and they seemed really determined to get these two guys in particular.
To get their brains.
Yeah, they wanted their brains. Because they were mortal men, I guess, was the whole idea.
You got me.
I'm trying to make it make sense, okay?
There's no making sense in this.
Yeah, I fell asleep partway through this movie, and I tried so hard to wake up. But every time I woke up, it seemed like it was the exact same scene. I have no idea how long I was actually asleep.
We just kept rewinding so that when you'd wake up...
Always the mark of a good movie is you can't tell if you're 5 minutes into a movie or 35 minutes or an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's
all the same. It's just a jumbled up mess of a...
Around and around and around and around.
I mean, I think every time you woke up, it was fighting. So it was like, it was the same thing as... We saw, what we named as Mum Yetis and Mum Squatches. And the one was, like, red, and that was
Elmo.
The Mum Squatch.
Evil Elmo.
Yeah, Evil Elmo. Good, perfect. Evil Elmo, and then there was it the Mum Yetis who were white, looking like mummies, but they kind of went around like Yetis. It was ridiculous.
Wait, was that their attempt to have,
What?
Chewbacca?
No, I don't think so, because Chewbacca was worked with the guy. If they had done that, if they had had a character...
If the friend had been a Chewbacca, that would have been...
Yeah.
He'd have been furry.
That would have been cool, but instead it was a man, another man, and there was a little bromance going on.
Oh, there was a big bromance going on.
That was kind of funny.
It was kind of weird, and kind of made me have, weird feelings, what the hell is going on.
But, so, do continue with your analysis. It's most interesting.
There was lots of fighting. Mm-mm. I guess plot happened at some point.
Not really, no.
There was a bronze mountain melted down into a sword.
As you do.
Mm-hmm.
Very pointy sword. Not pointy like the normal kind. It was a zigzag sword.
It had extra points, because you needed more than one.
And it was a wooden sword.
Yeah, not bronze.
Yeah, it was a wooden, very wooden. I mean, in fact, when he was knocking people down with the sword, it wasn't cutting anybody. It was just knocking them down, and so it was
like it was wood. It was a club. Wood.
Yeah, it was a club. It was weird.
Then the guy got cut in half.
Yes, the bad guy.
Evil pointy face, who up until the last minute could just zip away instantly whenever he wanted to, but for some reason... He didn't at the end. He just allowed himself to get beaten up and killed.
I think it's because he didn't have the brain?
No, because he didn't have the brain earlier. Yeah. And he could zip around. I think it was literally because...
They wanted to end the movie.
They wanted to end the movie, and they had to figure out... Because I even said, how can you just defeat this guy? I told Paul, so how can you defeat this guy? If all the time, he's just disappearing. And so I was like, oh, well... They just make him not disappear for
Wait, how long was this movie?
We don't know.
I think it was an hour and a half, but it didn't feel like... I felt like longer.
Oh, God. It felt like 17 million years.
How long was I asleep?
Probably about 45 minutes of the movie.
Wow. But you didn't miss much.
You didn't miss anything. I don't think you... You even said something about that. Like, I think when you woke up, you just realized it's the same thing.
Well, you did miss the training montage. Talk about the training montage.
So whenever you have a training montage in, like, an 80s horror, or 80s action movie, generally you have it, like, toward the end of the movie, when the guy is supposed to face the bad guy.
Right.
They had this 30 minutes into the movie mm-hmm. as the training montage, and it made absolutely no sense. They were running around, like, at one point they had two boulders on his legs, and he was, like, running, and then...
Okay, I'm sorry I missed this part. This sounds funny.
It was funny. It was ridiculous. There was
lots of hopping around, and lots of sort of mildly slapping piles of sand,
yeah.
and punching rocks.
Yeah, and then at one point he actually takes his hand and cuts a rock in half, like a big boulder in half.
And then he would kick rocks like they were footballs, and then the rocks would blow up, because that's what rocks do when you kick them. They explode, right?
Yeah. Like
they become grenades, basically.
It was so ridiculous. It was like, I mean, I was like, what are we watching right now?
It was like that for the whole film.
Yeah.
The other confusing part is it's set in Turkey, but they go to Egypt?
Yeah. They have a part where they're explaining the, like, I guess, everything in the world or something.
That was
the
worst part. The exposition where they're trying to actually make a story, and it's incoherent. Weird,
a lot of it's, like, religious.
Bullshit, stupidness.
You know, stuff where, like, man got extinct because there was a prophecy by some kind of god or something. I don't know. Like,
yeah, in the subtitles, what does HZ mean? Is it like Mister?
I don't know, because I think that was supposed to be some kind of Turkey thing. So it was because it was talking about like Muhammad, or it was like an Islamic, you know.
Yeah, they. I'm pretty sure at that period they were required to put in that kind of stuff in order to.
That how Islam is the mark of a civilization.
Yeah, and in order to get past the censors and say, okay, we're releasing this movie to quote unquote, teach the masses about Islam, when they're not. It's just them stealing a bunch of Western movies and entertaining them and making money.
So let's talk about all the movies they stole.
Oh, God.
There's Star Wars, obviously.
Clearly.
Which they, like, literally took Star Wars scenes. Like, they had stormtroopers in it. They had TIE fighters. They had the Death Star at one point.
And they shoved them in wherever they felt like it, whether it made sense to the narrative or not.
Exactly.
They just used them over and over and over.
Then there was Planet of the Apes, obviously. Mm-hmm. This was the beginning of the movie, is very Planet of the Apes. They find themselves. There's even a point where you see all the different statue things, and I was like, uh-oh, there's going to be apes on the statues.
That's what the Mum Yetis were, weren't they?
Right, yeah, so. They were kind of like...
Planet of the Mum Yetis.
Yeah, it was like Planet of the Apes with Mum Yetis, you know, Mum Squatches.
Mum Squatch.
Which Paul just, I mean, Paul made the movie fun, because every time a Mum Squatch came out, he goes, Mum Squatch!
And so between them and the Skeletors, which are really guys with little bone things painted on them.
Well, at one point they say, oh, skeletons are coming after us or something, right? And the guys did not look anything like skeletons.
No.
Then later, the Skeletor people came on, and they never call them skeletons. And I'm like, those are the skeletons. Like, the other people were not.
Other movies were like nature documentary footage, and I think Doctor Who as well.
Maybe they probably ripped off Doctor Who.
A movie called The Magic Sword from 1962. They stole some stuff from that.
Oh, like actual scenes from that movie too.
Bits and pieces of Flash Gordon, I think.
And Flash Gordon. I swear to God, I saw what's his name from Flash Gordon, the bad guy.
Emperor.
The Emperor. Yeah, and he was also. I feel like. The character, I keep calling him Pointy Head, because, like, or, you know, his... Can't call him Pinhead, but Pointy Head. I feel like he was, like, a mishmash of, like, a mix-up of both Darth Vader and the Emperor from, which, I mean, kind of makes sense if you're going to make a... Like, a spoof slash... I mean, I don't know if it's spoof or
ripoff.
Nothing
makes sense in this movie.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones, let's not forget there's parts of that ripped off.
There's parts of that ripped off, plus mainly the music, which I don't know. They don't use the music for very long, so I don't know if that's how they got away with it.
Well,
occasional 2-second burst when the guy's on screen, then they shoot away and it stops and they go back and it's another 2-second burst.
Like I said, in Turkey and in fact in lots of places in the world, they don't really have copyright laws, so they can simply take a foreign film, which all American films to them are foreign, and just grab stuff and throw it in their own films. I mean, we've seen Godfrey Ho do this. We've seen all kinds of different foreign directors doing their movies. And yes, it turns into a terrible, ridiculous stinker for us, but for the local folks, you know, especially if Star Wars never made it to your village, you know, and you've heard all kinds of people talking about it, and wow, here's a guy who makes his own version. Of course they're going to want to see it.
Uh-huh. I mean, before the show began, we were trying to figure out something that we could have Lenore watch that had some kind of science.
Like this movie, loaded with science.
But we were trying to figure something out, and Paul was going through his discs of movies and everything, and he said, Turkish Star Wars. And I said, yes, I want to see that.
So blame Moody.
But you also really wanted to show it. Oh, yeah. And you've been wanting to show it. And plus, Lenore had said she'd heard of it and everything, which made me excited that she had at least, like, Paul had told her about it. So this was eventually going to happen.
It was going to happen.
He told me about it before we watched Forbidden Zone.
Oh, see, you got such a freaking good memory, man. I don't know if I'm just getting old or if I'm... Like,
just you wait. But just a little bit of background, because there's not much to say because it's all Turkish. But the original title of this movie was The Man Who Saved the World. It's from 1982, but it is most famously known as Turkish Star Wars. And it was directed by Setin İnanak, who is, I'm sure I'm butchering his real name, but he directed a whole bunch of movies, especially a lot of, you know, rip-offs, Western movie rip-offs. And it was starring... Kunyet Arkin, also known as George Arkin, who was the number one Turkish actor, especially action hero, in so many different movies. He was like the most famous actor, and he actually got in a few Hollywood movies as well, but he was in over 250 movies and TV shows and so forth. So if you were a Turkish filmmaker and you got him in your film, you were pretty much guaranteed box office in Turkey. Now, in the rest of the world, I don't know about that. But, you know, he was kind of the biggest fish in the little puddle, you know, when you talk about films overseas.
The director is still alive.
He's still alive.
But he has not made anything since. He directed a couple episodes of a TV show in 2002, and that's it. So I'm guessing he kind of stopped.
You know, you could say this about a lot of different foreign films in the 60s and 70s. They're all pretty terrible. Turkish Star Wars, Turkish Spider-Man is one I have to show you. Turkish Superman I have to show you.
There's one called Turkish Western.
Most of the ones that are done in the 60s and 70s are just low-budget garbage and stuff here. But the Turkish cinema that's out today, there's a lot more money being put into it, and there's some interesting stuff out there. You mean, you can say the same thing about, you know, Pakistani films and Indian films and Indonesian films. You know, everybody has kind of upped their game, and it's because of the digital revolution. It's just made it a lot easier
for people to do stuff.
So that's been good. The quality of foreign films that are not banked by the larger foreign studios, by indie foreign films, is much better now. So you're getting a better product.
What, you're saying this isn't better?
They're not as entertaining as some of these ridiculous, crappy films from the 60s and 70s.
I know. I think Lenore would differ with that.
I'm telling you, man.
Were you as entertained?
Spider-Man is bizarre.
No, but I did find one scene really funny.
Which one?
The one where they're first captured by the metal guys, and you can hear their feet clanking on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As they walk away. That was funny to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many continuity and issues and stuff.
Well, it's clear that they just didn't care. They figured that the best way, just like a lot of American directors, is to just throw up a bunch of action and that's it.
And see what sticks.
See what sticks. It doesn't matter. Nobody's paying attention. They've already given us their money, so they're stuck there.
Right.
Let's give them lots of jumping and lots of fighting.
Oddly short horses.
Oddly short horses. Okay. The jumping thing is beyond me. I don't quite get that.
Yeah, maybe I'm just short, but I would not be able to jump over a horse and knock its rider off.
Oh, that was amazing. I hate to say,
there were some fun stunts.
There were some good stunts, like, sure, and that were just ridiculous, but they were fun.
And
like,
I believe that George, I'm going to call him George Arkin because I can pronounce that. I'm pretty sure he started off as a stuntman.
He seems like a stuntman. Like, he seems like he was comfortable doing a lot of the fighting and the stunts and stuff.
And he was famous for doing his own stunts for years. So even as he got into his 60s and stuff, he would still do his own stunts.
So in the beginning of the movie, when we first get like some of the action, the fight scenes, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Then you get another fight scene, and then another fight scene.
Just goes on
and then
on.
I'm just like, okay, this is, gets less and less amazing. Because like after a while, it's like, what can we do? You know, like it's the same fight scene. So it's like after a while, like, okay, they're fighting a skeleton. They're fighting. We even did that at one point where they were fighting the things. We're going, now you're fighting a skeleton. Now you're fighting a mum squatch. Now you're fighting. Skeleton, and at one point, you thought it was going to be a mum squatch and it was a skeleton. And then, oh my God, it just got so.
It was so ridiculous.
Monotonous.
Yeah. It's just the same thing over and over.
Yeah,
and over.
That was okay. That's. Like, the fight scenes were fun. They were very Bruce Lee style 1960s. Kind of fight scenes.
They would fight really weird people in masks. What about the cantina scene?
Oh God,
the Star Wars cantina ripoff scene.
Yeah, I mean, it was silly because in Star Wars, the cantina scene, there was no fight scene in there. Greedo shot first, but that was it, right? If I believe correctly.
Well, the fun thing is that, I mean, what makes that scene memorable and iconic in Star Wars is that, you know, he goes in there and you get to see how big the universe is in the George Lucas world, because there are all these different races there and they're all doing weird, alien sort of things.
Yeah, that was interesting for that time period, especially in the 70s, because nobody had done that yet, you know?
But then you kind of sort of see that in this, because there's a bunch of guys in weird masks and there's...
But it doesn't feel the same. I don't know. Okay, so I don't know if that's because of... that George Lucas did it first, you know, so doing it, like doing a ripoff of it doesn't necessarily work, or if it's because the mask just looks so fake and so terrible that you're just like, this just feels like kids making a ripoff of Star Wars, you know, it doesn't feel like a real movie, you know.
Yeah, plus in Star Wars, even though there was a threat of violence, there wasn't actually any violence, whereas in this one, the whole thing was just another excuse to do a bunch of new fights, you know, even though it was the same fights over and over and over. And then stupid Pinhead would just show up and, like, taunt them and, ha ha, I'm here and I'm going to do this and this is my plan and here are my powers and you can't defeat me and blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, disappear.
Yeah, then he disappears. Then he comes back. Then he disappears again. Comes back. It's like, dude!
Yeah, he was ruling the universe by the power of trolling.
I know. Pretty much. Yeah. I never thought about that, but I would agree with that. That's
his job was to troll them and provide exposition as to why he was wasting his time and our time by doing all these stupid things for no real reason.
Ugh.
You know?
Do they ever explain who the blonde lady is?
That was the daughter of the quote-unquote old man who knew the secret of the brain and the sword.
So he knew the secret.
Which is...
we don't know, because we never figured that. Because, okay, so... since you did fall asleep during this part, I'll have to explain it. But, like, so
good
he
luck.
Goes... I will. This is actually... I got this figured out. So they go to this guy, and he explains, like, the religious aspects of everything.
Oh,
Christianity,
God.
And how Christianity was wrong, and blah, blah, blah. You know, then he went on to explain that in for a mortal man must take the sword and the brain together to defeat the big boss guy, the pointy guy or whatever, right?
The wizard.
But he doesn't explain how to do it, right?
Or why.
But he doesn't explain that. But he says that you need to do that, and then if you do that, my daughter will be able to speak again. And she does. When they get so he has to go fight these mum watch squatches and Skeletors again, and then
he has
he gets,
to fight the gold twins, the Goldie twins.
Yeah, well, so I thought it was obstacle. It was going to be obstacle after obstacle. No, it was like two obstacles. So he goes there, and then he gets to the where the sword and because I was like looking at Paul going, wait, that was it. Like he just had to fight those guys, and then then he got, that was his obstacle? Like, that, that's what he's been doing, you right. know? Like, this is nothing new. So anyway, no. he goes to the, to where the brain and the sword.
The overmade sword.
Sword, yeah, are. And it's blocked by two guys in gold that look like knights kind of thing. Like, they're supposed to be knights of the round table type things.
Except they're, like, it's gold fabric instead of
gold
armor.
Fabric instead of armor. So it's really...
The fabric is cheap.
Yeah. So it looks ridiculous on him. And then he goes and grabs the sword, or is about to grab the sword, but he has to fight those two guys. Fights them like nothing.
Like 5 seconds.
5 seconds. Takes them out. They're done. Takes the sword. I was like, Jesus, this was quick.
Why
you
couldn't
know?
Anybody do this?
Yeah, I mean, why isn't this... Whatever.
That stupid little kid in the dress could have done this.
Well, so they take the sword, and he goes to go rescue his friend, or whatever. His best friend is... And Ali. The girl speaks to him before then. And he's like, oh, wow, you can speak now because of this. And I'm like, yeah, the fucking old man told you that. Like, if you get the... Were you not paying attention? You weren't even paying attention to your own movie, you know?
Right.
And in your own movie. But he goes, you know, so she talks to him, blah, blah, blah. They go off, and he goes to find his friend who was kidnapped by the pointy-head guy. And the guy's not his friend. It's a werewolf guy. Who, like, giant werewolf guy who...
He just stands there and lets him
stab him. Then he dies.
And he's clearly, like, not even in the same film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not even in the same universe.
Yeah, you even said that. You pointed that out. It's not even the same... So, then he goes to go fight the... He finds his actual friend. And they have this, like, almost romantic scene together. They're about to... They look like they're about to kiss. And then he goes and says... You know, I need the sword. I'm like, oh no, this guy's another werewolf guy, right? No, it was that guy. And he takes the sword in the brain. He knocks the guy out, his buddy.
Steals his brain from the guy's suit.
I know, but like, he knocks the guy out. This guy's been like, not being able to be knocked out. And then his friend can knock him out? Like,
what? But he's walking around with a brain in his suit. He just puts it behind the fold of his suit. And it's been sitting there. Oh. A brain!
That could get squished at any point, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, he takes the brain and the sword and goes to the old man, right? And who he's never met, so I don't even know how he knows who this guy is, but, you know, or whatever. But he goes to the old man and he says, teach me about the brain and the sword.
The mystery of the brain and the sword.
The mystery of the brain and the sword. And he goes, this is what you do. And he takes the brain and the sword, puts it to his chest... And then poof, it's the pointy head guy. And he's like, I got the brain and the sword. I have touched it. It is now tainted.
And then he beats him up by going like this. Ooh.
Yeah, he keeps pushing him.
Pushing him psychically.
Psychically. So he pushes the guy away and then disappears with, you know, leaving the brain and the sword. So the brain and the sword is still out there or whatever. And then it's just like... The rest of the movie is just them fighting and everything. And
then he's trolling them again. He's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. I've touched the brain and the sword. Now your powers can no longer defeat my powers because my powers have the mystery of the brain and the sword. And now you don't have any powers that can go after the powers of my powers, which have been increased by the brain and the sword. Ha, ha, ha, ha. What are you going to do now? I'm just going to sit here and laugh. Poof.
Poof.
So that sounds like the result of three kids playing with action figures.
And acid.
Yeah, and acid. You know, Tommy, little Tommy, 10-year-old Tommy, playing with acid for the first time and using his figures.
It was just so weird and bizarre.
You called it a fever dream, and I think...
I mean, Godfrey Ho makes more coherent movies than this.
That's true.
I mean, that's bad.
Hahnemann and the Five Riders.
Well, I don't know. That's close. That's about the same.
Wasn't that Godfrey Ho, or is that not?
No.
That was another guy?
That was the... I forget his name. That's the... Somebody different. But yeah, it's that level of just whatever. Just throw a bunch of shit up there. And the editing was incredibly
bad. Oh, there's some
Pote
Sands.
Some Pote Sands.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the editing in this movie was beyond the worst I've ever
oh,
seen.
Oh, God, no.
The worst.
Explain the editing if you can, Lenore.
Jump cuts.
Lots of jump cuts. Everything was tinged greenish yellow.
Mm-hmm. And everything sometimes, things got changed different colors at times, but mostly. And then at one point, the bad guy made everything red for
no reason.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Yeah,
but it was, you know, you couldn't follow anything because you know, there'd be a long, long, long fight scene. And so George Arkin would be punching a red Were-Squatch.
And then there'd be a jump cut and it would be black.
Yeah, it would be a Skeletor guy. And then it would be somebody else. And it's like, well, dude, you haven't finished what we just saw. It's like, you know, they've just completely changed bodies.
It's just because they probably were like, let's move it along.
Jesus Christ. So he ends up fighting like 17,000 fights, but you never actually see one finished because they're just jumping from one to the other. Again, more jumping. There's lots of jumping in this film.
So I have a question, Paul. Oh, you God. Might know this. You might know this. You might not. But my big question is, did the Turkish audience understand any of this?
I could not tell you. I don't think it mattered.
The subtitles don't make sense, but I don't speak Turkish. Did the Turkish language bit make sense?
I imagine in similar cases, just like in Sempoti Sands and some other ones, they got the cheapest things they could, the cheapest translators, and they just didn't care what the English translation was because it wasn't for American audiences.
It wasn't for the American audience. It was for the Turkish. So maybe some of it...
probably makes sense in Turkish.
So it makes sense in Turkish. Because I was going to say, like...
I have some Turkish friends. I mean, should make them watch it.
Oh, God. Do you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I should make them watch it and just so I could... They could explain to me what the frack is going on.
Maybe they can't. That would be the fun part.
Just so they can say, you know... 95% of what they're saying is not being translated into this. It just makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
It would clear up a lot of mysteries, in my opinion. But,
God.
It's just so weird. And you know, Lost in Translation is really what this movie should have been called.
Well, yeah, before the actual movie Lost in Translation, you know.
Turkish Star Wars, Lost in Translation.
Yeah, I mean, it's very Lost in Translation. There's no understandable shit.
Percentage-wise, how much of this movie had anything to do with Star Wars?
I mean, other than the Star Wars scenes, you know.
Yeah, the footage.
The footage. Other than that, nothing. Like, really, the pointy-head guy is not Darth Vader.
So maybe, like, 10% at most?
Well, okay, so you said the original movie was The Man Who Saved the World, right? Which kind of makes sense. He saved a world, not... Our world, I'm guessing. I don't know.
I don't know, because even at the end, he goes away, and they're all like, thank you, Earthman, for saving our planet.
Which is not Earth, what? Apparently. I don't know. I don't know what planet it was.
Thank you, Earthman.
So he's a man who saved a world. So that makes sense, I guess, you know, because he's the last one to leave.
And that's part of the problem, is we don't know where we are. We don't even know when we are, because the guy's like, I've been here 1,000 space years. What the fuck is a space year?
Well, no, but that is Star Wars, right? Star Wars has their own years, and I've been getting more and more into Star Wars. Now, probably when Star Wars first came, you know, got made, George Lucas probably didn't have, like, like this huge map of this, you know, story world that he now has, or that Lucasfilm has. But they had a thing called BBY, which is, like, before...
Battle of Yavin.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're a Star Wars person, aren't you? So, like, that makes sense, right? Like, you know, having, like... And they have, like, things that have happened in the past, and they... There's things that are canon, there's things that are not canon now, whatever. Then this movie takes place 10,000 or 1,000 light years, you know, I don't know, is it in the future, in the past? I don't know. Because it doesn't start out like Star Wars where, you know, it's like...
sure it does.
It doesn't start out, well, no, it doesn't start out with the scroll. The scrolling.
It's not like all this really incoherent action that's just been vomited onto the screen, whether you're paying attention or not, or whether you understand it or not.
I don't know. None of it. To me, none of it makes any sense. But, you know, eventually I'm gonna take a look at... I haven't seen Battle Star Wars by the Asylum.
Oh, God.
I can imagine what they will do. But, see, they have a bigger budget. Well, probably, but probably boringer, you know.
There won't be any mum squatches.
It'll probably be like an actual ripoff of Star Wars.
And that's the thing, you know, at least if you're going to make a shitty, awful, horrible, terrible ripoff movie, make it fun.
Yeah.
They did. Okay, they did make it fun. Okay, it got tedious because it was the same thing over and over and over, I grant you that. But it was kind of fun. I mean, I flipped out when I first saw the mum squatches. And you missed it. You didn't see, like, they took a bunch of people, and I guess they killed them, and they put them into the ground, And I then think they she saw covered that part, them up with dirt, and then they became mumsquatches.
Did you see that part or no?
Yeah.
Okay, she saw that part.
Through the magic of science.
So, to me, honestly, this is an interesting movie because this is the first time that we've had Lenora actually fall asleep during the movie.
I know.
And we haven't really had anybody fall asleep in a while. You know.
Which... G. Larry Bowler.
Well, no. Oh, you're not playing him. We've had a few people. And that is because some of the movies that we picked, and it's not... We can't always find movies that are just completely crazy, you know, fun, exciting stuff, you right. know, or whatever. So they're going to be boring movies.
And even this movie, you know, it has its moments that it kind of get lost because of all the stuff that just keeps going over and over and over. Like, you know, I love the part where the two heroes have been taken by the evil pointy guy. He's like, I'm going to torment you. Living people hate being buried alive, so we're going to bury you alive, and that will break them in this horrible, horrible torment. And they put them into this narrow little sarcophagus, and they put about an inch of dirt on them, and for about 10 seconds.
For about 10 seconds.
And that's it.
And then they turn into these.
And then they just evil... they shake it off, and then they're like, "Ah, well, you defeated my torment. I guess we'll just do something else with you."
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you didn't really try, did you, pointy head guy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Oh, that was like one of my least favorite parts too, because, like. I thought they were going to... You and I both thought they were trying to turn them into mumsquatches.
That would have been so awesome. Turn the heroes into mumsquatches.
But then the movie would be over, right? Because, like, now they'd be working with them, and it would be like, okay, what's the point of the hero becoming this thing? It would have been cooler if they tried to do that and it didn't work, you know, or something like...
Or they did turn, but kept their minds.
Well, yeah, because the whole time they kept talking about how, oh, we can't break their minds because of... mind stuff.
Immortal. But I think it goes back to the prophecy of whatever, you know, which is always a Star Wars thing. The chosen one.
I think it's because of all the extra training with the boulders tied to their legs and hopping around that is what made them. It steeled their mind against the mumsquatch magic.
I don't know. But anyway, so they had tried to do the sand stuff to them, or like basically they tried to bury them alive,
right.
And then they just go, like, they just raise their head up out of the sand, because it's only, like, an inch,
if that.
You know, if that, and so they're just, like,
and then he just gives up, he's just like, oh, well, that didn't work, I guess we'll do something else with them.
Yeah, you know.
Like, really, you're a terrible villain.
Yeah.
Terrible villain.
Worstvillain.com.
Absolutely. Like,
seriously. It was bad. It's terrible.
And then there was the queen who
I forgot about the queen.
Yeah, the queen was supposed to be beautiful, and she was supposed to seduce one of the heroes. It doesn't work, and so the pointy-haired guy turns her into an ugly witch and then a spider. Because that happens.
Oh, okay. I thought you just made her disappear. So she turned into the spider?
She's the one who turned into a spider.
No. I mean, I thought the spider was there. And, like, you know, or whatever. But no. So she turned into a spider. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. That happened.
That was a thing.
That was a thing that happened in the movie.
Yep.
I just thought there was a spider that was on the wall, and that they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Let's just keep that on there.
There's just weird stuff. Like, there was a weird... kind of sub-relation going on between George Arkin's character and the little boy in the dress.
Oh, God. Yeah.
There was some weird stuff going on.
He, like...
There was a little too much touching and kissing and
fun. He didn't even know the kid. He just literally just met these people. You know, like... And the kid didn't seem to mind.
I mean, I know back in the day it was the different thing about showing affection and physically, especially with kids, and it was like an okay thing.
There was no stranger danger.
These days, you don't. It's a very different thing. It's a lot more triggering going on.
There's more chomos out there.
Yeah,
and it's just disgusting.
It's just a little uncomfortable and strange, and it's just icky.
But you know, that's that. Ugh. But anyway, but the woman that couldn't talk, like, how did there, like, a relationship happen with that?
She kept smiling at him.
So she smiled at everybody, you know? Like, she just smiled.
With way too much makeup on, and she was blonde, so what's that tell you? The Turkish people think blondes are the beautiful. You
know? Hey, I like blondes, so...
Yeah, but you're not Turkish.
I'm not Turkish. You know, should I be Turkish?
Trust me, there's not a lot of blondes in Turkey. Not a lot of natural blondes in Turkey.
Yeah. Ah, there you go. So that's the thing. The beauty is something that...
I think the blonde lady was the mother of the boy?
Yes. Yep. I guess so.
And the daughter of the chieftain guy.
The old man.
The mystery of the brain and the sword.
Yeah, which we never understood.
So, I know there wasn't a lot of science, but tell me something about at least the space travel and the space stuff and the mumsquatch magic and some of the science that you managed to see before you fell asleep, Lenore.
Okay, let me think.
Was there anything that was realistic at all?
No. And I had an astronomy class right before I graduated. My astronomy teacher made it very clear space travel, like, is what's portrayed is not possible.
Typical.
Yeah, typical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, because, like, if we could create a, you know, a ship that could fly whatever, we wouldn't be able to go light years away, you know, even in a ship like that.
I don't think there'd really be explosions, because there's no oxygen in space, so how are things going to ignite?
Right. There. Yeah.
Because there's sound.
But, I, when Star Wars did that in the beginning, it's because it was fun, you know, right? It was fun to see things explode, even though it didn't make any sense. I'm sure George Lucas knew that exploding something in space wasn't going to be real, you know?
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if he knew or not, but what I liked was one of the things I loved about when I saw the Battlestar Galactica remake on TV is the fact that when you got to see one of those big, huge star battles and they were silent, that was freaking cool. I mean, when you saw all these missiles going there and it was silent, I was like, whoa, this is very, very different and creepy and unsettling and made
probably
more,
what would have happened,
more effective,
right?
It made it a lot more effective.
But it would probably be more what would actually sound
closer.
Like or whatever, you know.
There were still explosions.
There's still explosions. Well, I mean...
Gotta have explosions.
You gotta have it. And, that doesn't bother me, but I guess it would bother people who are into science and astronomy, because then they'd be like, that's not
I mean, there would be very short ones, because there is oxygen in the ships that are blowing up. It's just that the moment that it's now in touch with the vacuum, it would just get snuffed out pretty instantly.
Right. So, did that bother you at all if you see that stuff? Like, you see the explosions and whatnot in space, you just be like, okay...
I'm used to it.
So many movies do that. It just doesn't even, you know, it shouldn't even faze anybody anymore.
What about the robots and the hair dryers?
I thought that was funny more than anything else. These stormtroopers can aim.
That's true.
That's right. That's right.
And what about the robots in general? What did you think of their roboticness?
Okay, there was the one with the light on its head that I imagine that actor just couldn't see. But I did think the clunking metal feet thing was funny. But they only had it once in that one scene. Mm. Every other time, the feet were noticeably more silent.
It's more stealthy. Stealth bots.
Stealth bots.
And there was some kind of weird, tall, mummies, robot, squatch hybrid thing that he fought. Remember? And he fought it by jumping over it constantly. It's just kept jumping over it.
Yep.
It was very strange.
I mean...
In Turkey, heroes jump a lot. There's lots of jumping.
See, that's why I asked you about Turkish Spider-Man.
Because jumping. That
makes sense. You know, he has to jump. He has to jump, he has to catch on to the, you know, whatever. So,
we're watching this, we're like, jump around,
you
know, jump up and get down.
We're having so much fun with the jumping, because, like, at least that took... To me, that made the movie. Had the movie not had stuff like that, I would have been just like her.
I mean, you didn't see the trampolines, but clearly there are trampolines that were not shown on the camera, and that's where
he's jumping, bouncing from one trampoline to another.
Bouncy Castle Hero. You know?
Yep.
That's what it should have been called. Bouncy Castle Hero.
Yeah, just like Double D Avenger.
Exactly.
Like the jumping.
So much fun. But it's just so weird and just so strange.
Movie's a bizarre mix of stuff.
It's just incoherent rambling crap.
Lots of rambling.
Well, lots and lots of rambling.
Here's my question to you, Lenore. I mean, having just watched The Ice Cream Bunny and Fun in Balloon Land, how does this movie stack up?
I'm going to be honest. I liked Fun in Balloon Land more.
Wow.
Wow. When you say you liked it more, Jesus.
Wow.
I didn't like it, but I stayed awake during it, so.
Yeah.
And Ice Cream Bunny was better?
Yeah.
But Ice Cream Bunny, I think he was your favorite, right?
Cause of that was, these three,
of
yes.
these three, yeah. Jesus.
Well, you can't beat the bunny.
And we got one more to show you, too.
If the bunny was hopping around and fighting, how awesome would that have been?
Ninja Bunny.
Ninja Bunny!
We haven't made that movie!
Oh, my goodness.
Ninja yes!
Bunny. We'd have to start off with a short, because I don't know how long people could take a Ninja Bunny.
Oh, please. We need a Ninja Bunny hero.
I think I had a Ninja Hamster toy when I was little.
Ninja Hamster.
Sweet.
You know? I don't know what happened to it.
Ninja Penguin.
You know, hamsters are pretty like, scrappy little things.
I have seen this thing, maybe it was about guinea pigs, but they were small, soft, fuzzy things. Anyway, it was this post where somebody said when hamsters, or maybe it's guinea pigs, when they're born, they see a silver thread connecting them to their unique, inexplicable death, and they follow it like soldiers marching to war.
Okay.
Well, that sounds very disturbing. And
apparently,
dark.
Guinea pigs and hamsters are very good at killing themselves in strange ways.
Wow. Okay.
More you know.
I'm frightened by your knowledge sometimes.
Yeah. Stuff like, that you know. I'm just like, Jesus.
So, some of my friends have had guinea pigs and hamsters, and I've said things like, yeah, it killed itself. It got out of its cage and wedged itself behind the radiator. Mm. Or that was one of the more normal ones. One got out of the window and jumped.
Aw.
All right. Anyway.
Kamikaze critters.
All right. Well, there was no kamikaze critters in this movie necessarily, but there were definitely.
What about the wizard, the evil one who ruled them all? Tell me a little bit about your impressions of the wizard.
The sticky pointy head guy.
Pointy head.
It occurs to me, pointy head is also a good name for Sauron.
Yeah.
Sauron, the one where he had the actual crown.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I felt like he was sort of a boring villain.
Exposition man.
Yeah, he just explained everything. It's like, oh, so now we know how to defeat you because you just gave us everything.
He was terribly convenient for a villain.
Right. Like we watched, what was that? We watched that Flesh Gordon movie last season.
Oh, Flesh Gordon.
Flesh Gordon or Flesh?
Yeah,
Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders,
And in that movie, there was a little bit too much exposition as well. But they weren't telling the heroes the exposition. So it was like just telling the audience everything that was going on, but not the heroes. When you go and tell the heroes everything, like, this is how you defeat me. You know,
okay, I'm picturing, like, the villains just doing their normal villain stuff and then monologuing to the audience in, like, an office cutaway.
Pretty much, in a way. Like, I mean, they tell their normal stuff to the people, but then when they're down in their lab doing everything.
Sometimes, I mean, like in a bad James Bond parody, you'll see that where he's like, aha, Mr. Bond, if only you knew that the way to defeat me was to go blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I mean, I understand that because then, A, it gives the audience the chance to know how James Bond's going to defeat him. But also, James Bond now has a clue of what to do.
But the thing is, the difference is that James Bond pretty much already knew because he's James Bond. You know,
he should
he's
know.
Just doing that for the audience's sake. In this case, I mean, these guys had no idea. I mean,
no.
It's just too incoherent. It was just, he was just showing off to show everybody how knowledgeable and smart he is and powerful.
Because he has a brain.
Apparently.
Well, he needs other
brains.
The brain
is not connected to his brain, but he has a brain in
a box.
In a box.
One in his pocket.
I don't know whose brain that is, though. Did he ever explain that?
No, we have no idea whose brain it is.
It could be anybody's brain.
Could be a hamster's.
Abby Normal.
Could be a hamster's brain. We don't know. But that's, I think it's a little too big to be a hamster's. But you said it looked like chicken.
And I thought it looked like a chicken breast initially.
You're like, eat it! Eat the brain!
Eat the brain!
It was just goofy.
Well, he puts the brain against his face at one point, remember?
Brain moisturizer.
I do remember. I think I did eat monkey brain.
Oh,
wait,
gross.
Really?
No.
How did you do that?
I forgot where I do know I did
McDonald's?
That.
McDonald's?
No. No, that would be funny.
McBrain-olds.
No, McBrain. Here's McMonkey brain. No, I do remember eating it because I was at a restaurant and they had it.
Get the hell out of here.
I'm
pretty sure that would be illegal.
Yeah, no, it was in L.A. And it was at a Chinese restaurant or whatever, like an Asian restaurant. But it wasn't real monkey brain. It was
they just called it.
They just called it monkey brain, I believe. Like I hope.
So like how monkey bread isn't made for monkeys.
I think so. I think they just called it that because I was like, because I was like, I'm intrigued. Should I eat this? And I think I even posted on Facebook, like, should I eat this? Should I not eat this? And people were like, eat it. You know? And I was just like, all right, I guess I'm going to buy it.
If you go by the old Faces of Death video where they take the monkey and you kill it live.
I don't want to see that. No.
Break its skull open and eat it.
Why would you do that?
Because these people were savages, that's why.
That's fucked up, man. No. Don't.
Good way to pass disease from yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to try, I think it's called tripe.
Tripe?
Yeah, the calf brain one. I would like to try that at some point.
Yuck.
Cow brain? Oh, Paul would hate that because, killing the cows like that.
No, poor cow.
You know.
I mean, it's better than wasting the cow.
All right.
Anyway.
Just let the cow live.
Let's move along to the, we're at that time, actually.
We are?
Okay. We are. That went a lot quicker than I expected.
That's what she said.
Because, look, I honestly thought, because of how ridiculous this movie was, that we wouldn't have enough to talk about.
It's just an avalanche of nonsense.
So she said she actually enjoyed Actaeon Maximus, right?
I did. I mean, it wasn't well made or anything, but there was a lot of passion in it.
That's what she liked. I hated the movie so much. And this movie kind of had an Actaeon Maximus kind of thing, except I could understand the subtitles. They didn't make sense. And I'm sure.
So at least there were subtitles.
There were subtitles, yeah. So I could at least kind of follow along as to what the.
Because in Actaeon Maximus, it was just a bunch of.
And then sometimes there'd be subtitles, sometimes not.
Right.
So this way, there was no subtitle, or there was subtitles, and I could read everything. It didn't help because the story didn't make any sense. But at least in this movie, there were people jumping around and doing stuff enough to like get me excited.
They say things. I feel the deadling. What? It's just lost in translation. But if we're at that time, then I guess we need to talk about the stinkometer and how we rate our films. This is a 1 to 10 rating, and where the less the score, the better the film. So the stinkier it is, the higher the number. So if it's going to be a very good movie, you're going to give it a 1. If it's kind of meh, you might give it a 5. But if it's a big steaming bowl of crap, you're going to give it a 10. And you can give it a piece of score in between if you want to.
Or even if it's not a big steaming pile of crap, but it's still a pretty terrible movie, you know, you give it a 10. Right. Like, it's, you know, a lot of people have problems with our stinkometer, but I think it just depends on kind of like your mood and how you...
Your mood.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, you can watch a terrible movie, but sometimes it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And I'll say that for this movie. It's a terrible movie, but it's a lot of fun.
All right. Well, since you're yapping, you may as well go ahead and give your
score
first.
I'm
going
to give it a 10.
There you go.
It's a 10. It's definitely a 10 for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For me, too, it's a 10 because they clearly didn't care whether the story made any kind of sense whatsoever. They were clearly there just to put lots of explosions and jumping and fights and incoherent nonsense.
Like you said, it reminded me of Hanneman and the Five Riders and... You know, all the rest of
Hanneman was more fun, though, in my opinion.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's equally bad. That got a 10, too. So this is a 10 for me as well. So.
What about you, Lenore?
A 10.
A 10! It's
remember,
30!
I could stay awake in Actaeon Maximus. I didn't stay awake in this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It definitely, even though I gave Actaeon Maximus a 9.5, I should have gave that a 10.
I know. We're going to talk about that.
That's the biggest regret.
He's going to go to his graves, his last words, and be like, I should have given Actaeon Maximus a 10.
I know.
Why? Why,
it,
God?
I think you gave it a 10, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you give it a 9.9 or 9 or something. 9 or whatever.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It got higher than it should have gotten, you know, and that's because
It got lower than it should have gotten.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, yeah, it got lower than it should have gotten. It should have gotten...
It should have been a 30.
It should have been a 30, but this definitely is a 30.
This is a 30.
And
this
I'm not going to regret...
craziness.
I'm not going to regret giving this a 10.
Well, you've been pretty free with your 10, so that's been good. I'm glad you're not holding back anymore.
I know.
It's not like, oh, I better not give it a 10 because I don't know what Paul's going to give you. Yeah.
I know. Well, that was the second season. By the third... By the third season, I sort of started to kind of figure it out like that, especially with your picks, that this was not, you know.
You could, I mean, not all my picks are like this, but when they come, you can tell.
And my other, I have no other regrets as far as, you know, my things other than acting.
And it's really not so much even the actor's fault, because the acting wasn't so bad, I guess. You know, the main actors were okay. They did what they were supposed to do. It's an action
film. Yeah, they did what they were supposed to do. That was it.
But the direction and the special effects and the editing were just poor. And it just, no matter how good a performance was going to be in this film, it wasn't going to help the movie at all.
It's just one of those things where it was just so incoherent.
It's a technical disaster.
And the script, if they had one, it just didn't feel like they understood. Like, it felt like they had a script, they shot as much as they could, then they tried to make stuff make sense. You know, they went back and shot different stuff to make it make sense, and it just doesn't.
Yeah, no. It clearly, this was, okay, they made a lot of money in the United States with these movies. Let's make a movie using elements from that and just throw it in there. And it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. You know, people will come and pay. And they did.
Apparently. You said this was in, like, cinemas and stuff, too? Yeah. Or, Jesus.
Overseas. Yeah, not here.
I don't think I could sit and watch this in a theater. You know? I don't drink anymore, but I'd probably be drunk watching this.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this one will get you started. But I promise you this. I promise you this. The day we sit down and I show you Brazilian Star Wars, you will have a whole new appreciation for the elements of filmmaking in this film.
What?
Yes.
So Brazilian Star Wars is worse than Turkey Star Wars?
Oh, God, yes.
Will it put Lenore to sleep?
It puts everyone to sleep.
Oh, God. But yeah, sorry, Lenore, you can't watch that one. You know, unless he wanted to make you go sleep tonight pretty quickly, you know?
It could very well be the worst film I've ever seen.
Yeah. God, that sounds terrible.
I don't know how many other of our new normal guests would have sat through this particular film.
So thank you, Lenore.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
It was
a welcome back. I'm not sure if it's the welcome back you wanted.
Well, I mean, you did other stuff other than watching these terrible movies. This was the end of your stay.
Did
you
honestly think that at this point you'd be saying, yeah, The Ice Cream Bunny was the best film I saw this weekend?
I don't know. We still got one more to watch. Yeah. We'll see how that does.
The day before I came here, I watched The Princess Bride.
Oh.
Okay, so you were used to this sort of thing.
I like The Princess Bride.
Yeah. You like The Princess Bride. Don't pull shit like that. Bullshit artist.
Crab shit artist.
Yeah. King penguin shit artist. All right.
Anyway. Porto!
Anyway, you have to see The Greasy Strangler someday.
Oh,
maybe.
No. No, that will break poor Lenore's mind.
All right. Anyway,
give her nightmares forever.
Give her nightmares. Like, let's not
give
do that.
Give me nightmares.
Yeah. I don't think he gave me nightmares, but I do want to say Porto to people every day.
Porto!
What was I gonna say? So, thank you so much, Lenore, because, like, this has been really awesome, because...
And we've missed you.
Yeah, we missed you. I kept bugging Paul, like, when's Lenore coming back? When's Lenore coming back?
And I was like, we gotta leave her alone. She's in school. She's gotta do her thing.
I kept trying to get him to get you on Zoom so we could do a podcast on Zoom.
But if I can get her over here, we'll get her over here and we'll do a couple movies. And
yeah.
She was gracious enough to spend her vacation time with us. We appreciate it.
We miss you for the end of the fourth season. You were not there for the whole season, so we definitely wanted to have you come back. So we're very happy that you were able to, you know,
absolutely.
And everything.
Absolutely.
This was definitely a welcome
back. It was nice having our resident science expert.
I know, and that's what I told him. Pick something science-y. He sort of did, maybe.
Science fiction-y, sort of, maybe.
Not really, but, you know.
Fever dream fantasy?
I wasn't expecting... I thought this would have more science in it, you know? Like, with the Turkish Star Wars name, but... no science whatsoever. No, it was a science free. So, what have you been up to since we last saw you?
I finished my undergrad.
Congratulations.
Then I started my PhD, and I switched from material science to computational chemistry.
Wow. Are they similar?
Material science is more experimental, like developing and testing materials.
Mm-hmm.
And computational is more modeling materials.
For some reason, computational sounds like computers.
It is.
Oh, okay. So
computer science, physics, chemistry, math.
Because you're using these models to predict how
the materials
bonds and materials would work.
I'm just like Joe Lynn. This stuff goes right over my head. Mm. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. Our professor's having us start with molecular dynamics codes.
Oh. Yeah, you said about something about that. That sounds...
Basically, yeah, you start with atoms, and you just try to define how they bond to each other on under different circumstances based on their starting position, what type of atom it is, the volume, pressure, temperature.
Wait, so how do you get an atom? Like, how do you see it? You know, you can't see it, so how do you...
Okay, so...
Here's our science lesson.
What I've been doing is, it's object-oriented coding, so I just make an object called an atom, and I define it to move like an atom does.
Oh, you can do that?
Yes, but what I'm doing is probably a bit bad relative to other...
Okay. So you're learning, you know, how to do it. You're trying to learn how to...
Yeah, atoms aren't so much like point masses. They're more like clouds of electrons.
Is there a way to Google stuff to help you with that?
I have been.
Okay, that's what I would say. Like, that's the only thing I can imagine is YouTube.
Well, at what point do you learn about the mystery of the brain and the sword to help you?
I don't know. Maybe in quantum chemistry.
The only reason we're asking that is because none of us could figure that out. I don't think even the movie did.
No, I don't think so.
There was just like, okay, we'll just have a brain and a sword.
But if you come across an atom or an equation that allow me to turn into a mumsquatch, please share it with me.
No, we don't want you to turn into a mumsquatch.
But they're fuzzy.
I know, but then you wouldn't...
so fuzzy.
You have to work with the pointy head guy. That's it.
I think the secret is Rogaine.
Rogaine, nice. Lots and lots of Rogaine, right?
Fergaine.
Fergaine. That's a new one.
There
you
know,
you should market that.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, and on that note.
So many mumsquatches.
On that note, thank you, Lenore, and thank you for the science lesson. I always love that kind of stuff because I don't know anything about science. All that shit goes right through my head. And I, you know, that's why I have to rely on other people to tell me that science is wrong. And so I'd go to you. I'd be like, hey, is this? And you'd be like, no, that's not how that works. And I'd be like, okay, well, you know, we'll do it this way. And they'd be like, no, that's still not how it works. And
well, it's funny because some movies try, some movies kind of make the attempt, and others just don't even bother. They just don't even care.
Yeah, if the science doesn't make sense, then who cares? Because no science nerds will be watching this movie, kind of thing, is what they think.
No.
But no. That they will.
It matters.
They will watch
details
it, and
matter.
Then they'll say, this is crap. And don't...
Details, you know, matter. Especially because some of that stuff, it's just 5 minutes. All you gotta do is look it up on YouTube or...
Google
it, and 5 minutes will tell you.
Uncle,
you know,
Google,
all
man,
you have to do.
That's the best thing in the world, dude.
Right.
Absolutely. So that's why I asked if that was what has been helping you, and it makes sense.
Indie writers, fact-checked your scripts, please.
In the 80s, in this, what was this made, 80s?
1982.
Wow, I was born then. Jesus.
There you go. You and Turkish Star Wars.
God, this is 40 years old, bro.
There you go.
That's crazy. But anyway, this movie, you know, sort of, kind of had the little bit of, tried to do a little bit science and then didn't really work.
No,
so.
Nothing worked.
Nothing worked. And that's how Paul's going to show, like, going to be back on.
Starting from the top and working our way. Well, it's only going to get worse.
Yes. What?
It's only going to get worse from here.
No, I don't want to hear that shit.
Can we watch a good movie next?
No.
I mean, what's the point?
We will. Maybe not for this show, but we will. There's more Ice Cream Bunny coming.
No, what? I didn't know that. Oh, no.
Ice Cream Bunny saves the world.
Ugh.
Against the Were-Squatches.
Everybody, thank you guys for listening. If you've seen this movie, let us know what you guys think. Also, check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/IndieFilmCafe. Only for $1, you can get Patreon-only reviews. We are starting January off pretty well with Double D Adventure. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna, you know, we already watched
with that. G. Larry Butler
himself. Al Purplewood himself is in that episode. So please check out our Patreon, plus the lots and lots of other ones that only you guys can listen to. So we have not put that other content out available.
That's right, and we have exclusive footage of Moody turning into a mum squatch. You won't see that anywhere else.
Well, don't tell them that, you know. Don't give them all the secrets. There Jesus. You go. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys for checking this out, and join us in, next month. Yeah, for a whole new episode. So thank you guys, and hope you guys enjoyed it.
Mum squatch.
Bye bye.
Bye.
We're gonna start talking right now. Obviously, my voice is to say something.
Hi.
Ice cream bunny.
Okay, yeah, that.
Alright, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Ice cream bunny, the ice cream bunny. He's made out of ice cream and he's a bunny.
Why did we watch that movie?
Because you love it.
I think you love it more.
He does.